From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is such a privilege to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. I want to give you our contact information on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as I mentioned, from time to time, resource consultants are standing by. They're delightful to speak with. And they're at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Just moments before walking into the studio, I picked up a letter from a stack of letters that I was trying to get to, but I was preoccupied all day with so many other tasks. I just couldn't get to it until, as I said, just before I walked into the studio. And the first letter I picked up, I opened and was blessed by, in fact, so blessed by, I wanted to share it with all of you as well. It says, "Dear Hank, first of all, I want to say thank you for your ministry. God brought you into my life through prayer. I asked God for discernment. I wanted answers to God's word, but I wanted answers according to God's word as well. Thus, Hank, you have entered my life. I look forward to your daily broadcast. I'm learning so much and having the knowledge of Christ brought to me so that I might grow in him each and every day. Our God is a mighty, ever-loving, ever-protecting God. He protects his children, and I thank him every day for bringing you into my life. Thank you, Hank, for your walk in him, for trusting God each day, gleaning of all the endless wisdom for all the Lord would say. Thank you for the time you spend, the hours you gladly give, unfolding of God's perfect way, the only way to live. Many, many blessings, Narda." And Narda, your letter was a blessing to me. And I get these letters every day that encourage me in the work that we do. And quite frankly, I had some time to be in my car over the last few days. And in that drive, I got to listen to a lot of radio. And while I was listening to that radio, I recognized just how important this ministry is. Because in listening to broadcasts, on the one hand, I heard broadcasts that were edifying and were a great blessing to me. But then I heard some other broadcasts that I thought, my goodness, I would be better off listening to some other channel because this is some truth, but mixed with significant error. And again, it made me so delighted, so privileged, so thankful to have a broadcast where we can teach people discernment skills so that they themselves can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. I want to thank everybody that supported our ministry during the last month. And I do pray that a lot of you will consider making the trek from being a donor to a partner. In other words, not only giving sporadically, but giving on a monthly basis. Obviously, anything you give is deeply appreciated, but our partners give us a foundational base upon which this ministry rests with some secureness. So if you can make that transition, I would be delighted. Check it out on the web, equip.org. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to Jerry. She's listening in New England. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
It's my privilege.
My question is, I watch a lot of Christian channels, and I came across Pastor Joseph Prince, and he was talking about the Ten Commandments of the law. I think that's what it means, isn't it? The old law in the Old Testament?
In part, yes.
Okay, and he was given a sermon on that, but he says we don't do that anymore because we are now under grace from God. And I think he said he got that from Romans 6:14, but I had never ever heard of that. Could you tell me something about that? Because he said he doesn't even teach his children the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
And I just couldn't believe that.
Well, he's guilty for spreading what we would call antinomianism. Antinomianism means anti-law. And as such, he rejects distinguishing between the ceremonial laws, which are no longer binding. In other words, they've been abrogated because they have been fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So he rejects distinguishing between those ceremonial laws, which are no longer efficacious for the believer today, and the Ten Commandments that you just mentioned, which is part and parcel of enduring universal moral law that is still relevant for believers today. In his understanding, he says, while God's law is holy, just, and good, it was not meant for man to keep. Man has no ability to keep it. And then he goes so far as to say, the law is not for you, the believer, who has been made righteous in Christ. The law is not applicable to someone who is under the new covenant of grace. And then he finds the believer is unable to have a relationship with the law, which he calls the two cold tablets of stone, but only able to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is living and who will put his laws upon our minds and write them on our hearts. Now, again, his teaching is a variety of antinomianism. The moral law does lead to repentance, but it has no relevance in his view to the life of the repentant believer afterwards. So it can be used to bring one to repentance, but has no relevance to the life of the repentant sinner after they've given their life to Christ. So he will say, I am not antinomian. He will say, I've been accused of being antinomian, someone who is against the law of Moses, but the truth is that I have the highest regard for the law. The problem, however, is that antinomianism is more than being against the law of Moses, because the law's purpose is at least threefold. It restrains sin, and it promotes righteousness in society. It leads people to the conviction of sin and tutors them to Christ, and it serves as an ethical rule of life for the believer, and it is therefore the rejection of this third use of the law that would make Prince guilty of antinomianism. But if you've listened to the broadcast for any period of time, you'll realize that Joseph Prince has prostituted Scripture in so many different ways. And I've articulated that not only in the broadcast, but we've also put together an article for the Christian Research Journal on his aberrations. He is part of what I call the austenification of American Christianity. He teaches essentially a brand of New Thought metaphysics carefully crafted with Christian language so that the unsuspecting will take a bite of the apple.
Yeah, well, when I was listening to him to several of his broadcasts, I just got a funny feeling in my stomach, and I just thought, this is not right, and don't listen to him, and I haven't, you know, because I just thought, that's not right. But you answered my question, and I thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you so much for your call, Jerry. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Taylor next, listening in Atlanta, Georgia, on the web. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, sir. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was looking at your Wikipedia, just basically an overview of who you are and where you've come from. It had said that you had created some form of memory tool so that someone would have the ability to remember scriptures easier, especially when dealing with cult folks like Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, who are very good at reciting scripture and leaving us Christians kind of in the dust and confused. I didn't know, is this something that is available for us to buy so that, like we were learning a new language, we could learn this ability as well?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that this is one of those projects that I keep wanting to get to. Years and years ago, I used to teach memory, and I never published anything on memory except for things that I would hand out. Let me say this, though, that the materials that I've developed are inherently memorable. In other words, I try to write them in such a way that they stick in the mind, either through alliteration or through the use of acronyms. A lot of my books are based on acronyms. So I've tried to make materials inherently memorable, but I also think that it's important to teach principles of memory, because we do reading and writing well, but we don't do memorizing and reciting all that well. And I think we do need to get back to that, particularly with the injunction that Scripture gives us to hide His Word in our heart. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up, and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke Edition of the Christian Research Journal, It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert, listening in Canada. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
Good.
I just had a question about the 144,000 and the remnant.
Yes.
I'm wondering, is the 144,000, is that a, from your perspective, is that a literal number? Or is that figurative or symbolic, or how is that?
Well, it's not a literal number. To suggest that the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001, I think should stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic Jehovah's Witness beyond the breaking point. They have that kind of idea in their minds. But, I mean, think about it. 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile, and the other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by Roman hordes. Not only that, but the pattern of the Bible is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. And that's why you see the New Jerusalem figuratively built on the foundation of the 12 apostles, and it's entered through 12 gates inscribed with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And not only that, but if you read a little further in Revelation chapter 21, the walls are 12 times 12 or 144 cubits thick. And therefore, it's far more likely that 144,000 is a number that represents the 12 apostles of the Lamb multiplied by the 12 tribes of Israel times 1,000. And as such, it becomes the figurative use of a number representing true Israel as it was intended to be in perfect symmetry and providentially sealed.
Okay. So the idea that there's, you know, the 144,000, what are we to believe when we read that in Revelation?
Well, as I said, this represents true Israel as it was intended to be. And as such, this is a number that's emblematic of the purified bride from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language that will step over Jordan into a new Jerusalem prepared for her from the very foundations of the world. The 144,000 is thus the limitless great multitude of all whose names are written in the book of life and who will inherit the courts of God for all eternity. One of the things I've pointed out on this broadcast is that the 144,000 and the great multitude are not two different peoples, but they're in essence two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. So just as John is told about a lion and turns to see a lamb, so he is told about the 144,000 and turns to see a great multitude. And in this way, we can see that the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. In other words, the same entity, but it's seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From the other, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. There's an entry on the 144,000. I've also written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code.
Okay. So is your feeling that the 144,000 and the, like the we talk about or we read about the remnant, do you believe that they're the same group then, or are they two separate?
Well, I mean, you know, when you ask that question, oftentimes the question is colored by what you've heard on radio. In fact, I was just talking at the beginning of this broadcast about traveling and listening to Christian radio, and I heard a couple of Christian broadcasters talk about this very thing with a great amount of, I think, sophistry and sensationalism, quite frankly, but not reading Scripture in light of Scripture. And so the problem is a lot of people have perceptions with respect to numbers in the book of Revelation that come more from a fertile imagination than reading Scripture in light of Scripture. If you read Scripture in light of Scripture, you see that the figurative use of the number 12 and its multiples is well established. In other words, it's not part of something that someone dreams up, but something that you get from the Bible itself. For example, the tree of life in Paradise Restored is said to bear 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the great presbytery in heaven is surrounded by 24 elders. You see that in, I think it's Revelation chapter 4, and also in 11 and 19. And not only that, but the figurative use of the whole number 1,000 is also common in Old Testament usage, such as God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times, or God keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations, or God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So the idea of rendering this figuratively is something that comes from the Scriptures itself. And who can help but think back to Ezekiel's depiction of a man who is clothed in linen, etching a mark on the foreheads of those who have grieved and lamented over all the detestable things done in Jerusalem prior to the destruction by the Babylonians 6 centuries before Christ, or fail to realize that those who were marked were the earnest of the 144,000 sealed prior to Jerusalem's destruction in AD 70. So again, all of this is contextualized by the Bible itself. And this is the very thing that we need to do in biblical interpretation. We have to always interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. And this is particularly noteworthy with respect to the book of Revelation. Reason being that Revelation is not only an apocalypse in the sense of an unfolding, but also an apocalypse in the sense of a linguistic matrix that is drawn from the wellspring of the Old Testament literature.
Okay. So if I was to write a paper on Revelation and I wanted to, you know, like the remnant and the 144,000, so I would be saying in the paper that they are not the same, that the number 144,000 is not a literal number. You know, I just want to make those points clear.
I mean, the Jehovah's Witnesses think that it's a literal number, and there are a lot of sophists and sensationalists, even in the evangelical Christian church today, who say it is a literal number. It's not, as the Jehovah's Witnesses put it, it's Jewish witnesses in their view. So the Jehovah's Witnesses have this view that the 144,000 is a literal number of tickets that go to people that get entry into heaven, and the other great crowd is an earthly class. So the 144,000 tickets have been sold. It's literally only 144,000. There's not 144,001 tickets, and therefore no one can get a ticket into heaven at this point. All those tickets have gone. But likewise, just as Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, so are those sophists and sensationalists in the present-day church that are saying it's literally 144,000 Jewish witnesses, not Jehovah's Witnesses now, but Jewish witnesses that are those who have never been with women. They're virgins, and they're part of the remnant in the end days and all of these kinds of things. All of this is sophistry, and it's sensationalism, and it really doesn't have any place in the Christian church. It's unfortunate. It sells well, but it doesn't comport well with the biblical text.
Yeah, I just figured maybe that the unit 1,000 is the biggest unit that they had back then. Like, they don't have million, you don't read about millions in the Bible, and they have, like, you know, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. The unit of measurement, 1,000, to me, is, I figure it's probably, you know, it's the biggest unit of measure that they had.
Well, but I mean, it's more analogous in a lot of ways to, you know, me stepping on a scale and saying, oh my goodness, I weigh a ton. I mean, that's a very common figure of speech. It's a way of speaking that's very common to us. If we've gained a couple of pounds, we say, wow, I weigh a ton. But in the same way, 1,000 was a very common usage of a whole number in a metaphorical sense. So, I mean, think about some other examples. Even if 1,000 shekels were weighed out into my hands, I would not lift my hand against the king's son. Remember that epic passage in 2 Samuel, I believe, chapter 18. Or God shows love to 1,000 generations, or better is a day in God's courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Or as I mentioned, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Do we say, okay, now I want to take that literally. That must mean that God does not own the cattle on 1,001 hills, and he owns more than the cattle on 999 hills. I mean, obviously that's absurd. It's a way of saying God owns everything. So 1,000 as a whole number is invariably used in metaphorical fashion in the whole of the biblical text. And one would certainly suppose that in apocalyptic literature, in terms of that particular genre, to take it now in a wooden literalistic sense as the Jehovah's Witnesses do, or as some Christian controversialists do, is, well, to be polite, it's just simply absurd.
Yeah. Okay, man. Well, thank you for your time, and appreciate your advice and your information.
You got it. Thank you for your question. I love the comebacks, because that means that you're listening and you want to understand. And I think these are really important things to understand. Speaking to the broader audience as well, let me say that this is part of the art and science of biblical interpretation. It is a science in that rules apply. It is an art in that the more you apply the rules, the better you get at it. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to being right back here tomorrow to answer more of your questions. Stay tuned for that.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.